If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Hundreds and thousands of students may be stranded after the decision by the Department of Higher Education and Training to deregister some colleges that have been around for a very long time. You may recognize some of these ones, Damalan being one of them, City College and so on, City Campus as well, Varsity College as well. Velimbele is a Higher Education Department spokesperson who is on the line with us this evening just to give us clarity on what exactly happened here. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, my sister, and evening to your listeners as well.
Ms. Mbele, let's just, first of all, talk about how these institutions got themselves here in the first place. What is it that they didn't comply with?
Yeah, so, and that is perhaps an important point of departure. So, in terms of the regulations of 2016 that govern the registration or the establishment of private higher education institutions and the Higher Education Act, private higher education institutions that are established in terms of the prescripts I've described are required, amongst others, to submit to the Department of Higher Education and Training annually audited financial statements, right, amongst others. Mm-hmm. They are also supposed to, amongst others, as part of their declare to us, their tax clearance certificate. Mm-hmm. Now, for the financial years 2021 and 2022, the four colleges whose registration has been cancelled did not comply. Right? Mm-hmm. And that was the one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is that there has also been serious governance failures, mm-hmm. and a litany of complaints that we got, especially from the students, relating to how they are being treated and how many of their grievances remain unresolved. There's also been concerns about some of the quality of the teaching in some of their campuses and some of their sites, some of which had to close because either they had not paid, for instance, in some instance, they had not paid the municipal bill and the building had to close and students found themselves stranded. In another case, there were also reports about students being allocated marks for an exam that never existed. And a whole host of other issues which we got as part of the dossier that the department is in possession of. And having engaged with the EDICOR group before and having received requests for extensions, right, because every time we raise the issues, they ask for extensions to deal with those issues, and we have granted some of those before. We then decided as the department that we have now reached the stage where the situation has become, untenable, and that we must now intervene decisively being, amongst others, cancelling their registration status. Now, in terms of the law, mm-hmm. right, the regulations specifically, they are required to appeal the decision, okay. Like make an appeal, and give cause as to why the department should not uphold the decision to register them, right? Mm. And based on that submission they make, the department can either uphold or review that decision. And that is something, for instance, the extension they ask for is something that has to be granted by the minister.
Have they shown intention to proceed with appealing processes, or is there no response from them so far?
So what they have done is that they have submitted a request, so to speak, mm-hmm. for another extension, yeah. right, which comes on the back of other until October, okay. Now, which is a request to essentially say, give us time, we will correct these governance things that mm-hmm. you have identified. Now, our difficulty as the department is not so much whether or not we should or should not grant the extension, is that during the periods we have granted these extensions, we have not seen a substantive improvement. Mm. The situation actually has not improved, it has become worse, mm-hmm. right? And we are also not getting any indication from the leadership of EDICOR that they are taking proper steps, you know, amongst others, something like a turnaround strategy, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what institutions would do. that have been found wanting in terms of their governance. Nothing of the sort from them, right? Now, we then thought we have an obligation to protect the students, mm-hmm. right? Because if you continue and you allow this to continue, you are legitimizing, amongst others, illegality and to some extent even criminality. Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk a little bit about some of the grievances that you were able to, you know, there's a dossier, as you are saying, that exists, and there are many other grievances, including grievances by students and obviously parents. And I want to put aside the audit financials and the tax clearances and talk a little yes. bit about the grievances. Was there an investigation? How did you collate those?
Okay, so especially the ones that came from the students, one of them, or let me just list a couple. So the students were complaining, amongst others, for instance, about that the quality of some of the lecturers, right, is very suspect. The students were complaining about where students have to be reimbursed, you know, which is part and parcel of the general financial management of an institution. There has been problems with reimbursing students, right? So the students have raised this. But the students have also said, In when they raise a number of these issues, the management of EDUCO has generally been unresponsive mm-hmm. to the issues that students have been raising. And this is how students found themselves raising this directly with the department. I mean, even coming here, I have been inundated with emails from students and parents mm-hmm. who have been asking me questions about what happens to my qualification, where am I going to study? And we needed to give them answers to those questions. Now, we as the department have tried our best to respond as we continue to do. That's why we had a media briefing today. Mm. The difficulty we're having is that the EDUCARE group is not responding. It's not communicating. Because by law, they are required to communicate with the students once they have been informed that their registration status has been changed. So the students are not even supposed to learn through the media. Mm. They have to be informed. This is now
by
the institution, yes, because we put that in the regulation that once we tell you your status has been cancelled, you have an obligation. So already, right, they have created that type of problem, and this creates anxiety for the students. If I may just add, the other obligations are that once they have been informed that their registration status is cancelled, in addition to informing students, they also have to make sure that if there are monies due to students, the regulations require that those monies be paid.
So,
if there are students that whose courses are incomplete, and obviously they have to complete them. The regulations state that the obligation is on them again to make sure that they find alternatives, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the department has said to the minister today that we are prepared to help them with some of those issues, especially the ones of finding alternatives for the students. Because you would remember it's a normal practice. You have students, for instance, let's say from Dumalin. Some of the courses, if you remember, at Dumalin, right, some of the students at Dumalin could study at what we previously called technicum.
Yes, sure.
Right. You remember? So it's not something that is unprecedented.
Not impossible. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
right.
What I seem to think is the problem from what you're saying is that, yes, there is a compliance and governance issues, but one of the biggest problems right now is that they're not communicating, especially with their students. And
absolutely.
If they're not communicating, neither are they cooperating and assisting students to get alternative placements and so on. What then becomes a responsibility of the student who is worried about their education, who is worried about loss of time? Can they come to you? How are we going to assist these students?
So, ordinarily, the students should be assisted by the EDUCO group, but like you correctly say, the EDUCO group is not being helpful, right? So we now find ourselves as the department seized with those concerns of the students, and we urge the students to contact the department, right? Those who can contact the department, because the department is exploring a process as to how those students can be helped, because it would assist also to know who are the students and how are they affected, because as things stand, the department cannot lament and fold its arms. We have to find a solution, which is what we are doing. So the students who send their emails to me and those who have contacted me, we welcome that. Because we need to make sure that we don't find ourselves with a situation where this thing develops to such a point that we find ourselves that out of this another tragedy develops, right? Because you can imagine what can just happen if the situation is allowed to develop in the manner that it's developing, because we don't know how it will affect each and every student. And we have made a public this thing, a commitment that we will see how it is we assist the individual students. And this is why we are able to tell the nation that we are aware of some of the queries, because when the students came to us, we listened to them. And what we did in January this year, based on what the students have brought to us, we formally wrote to the leadership of EDUCO in January this year. And my sister, we are now in March. We have not had a response to the issues that we have raised with the leadership of EDUCO. And I'm saying this to help you appreciate the difficulty that the department finds itself in.
Okay. Is there a possible email address, anything that you can give us now for those who are listening, who are desperate, who don't really know what to do, that they can maybe contact somebody and then tell their story? Because obviously, as you're saying, EDUCO is not responsive and people must be panicking.
You are talking to me now, and we have an obligation to listen and to respond to the issues of the public. So I can give my email address, right? It is public. Okay. So I can give my email address, and then I will direct them to the colleagues that are seized with this thing and that are helping. So I can leave my email address.
Sure. Please go ahead and do that.
Okay. So the email address is VELI, that is VELI. Capital letter V dot Mbele, capital letter B, MBLE at DST small caps dot gov dot ZA. I wish to repeat that. The email address is Veli dot Mbele at DST dot gov dot ZA.
I really appreciate your time. Veli Mbele is a higher education department spokesperson, and I'll make sure that I will repeat that email address again later on for those who were not able to get it. It's veli.mbele.dest.gov.za, but I'll repeat it much later on again.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.